Natural colorings, they play a significant role in enhancing the visual appeal of supplements and food products, contributing to their marketability and consumer appeal. Where would we be without these vibrant hues adorning our supplements and food products, making them pop off the shelves like dazzling fireworks in a dull sky? But let's take a dive into this kaleidoscope of color, exploring definitions, origins, regulations, FDA regulations, health effects, and those sneaky manufacturer tactics that keep us guessing. Strap on those skeptical goggles, my friends, as we embark on an adventure through the technicolor maze of natural colorings in the realm of consumables. But hold on, my savvy listeners, are you ready for yet another surprise ingredient? In the intriguing world of natural colorings, a curious revelation awaits. Deep within the intricate tapestry of food and cosmetics lies a secret hidden in plain sight. Another buggy secret, you might ask? Yes, you heard it right, folks. Today, we will introduce Carmine the Insect. Isn't this just another spiffy gross announcement, right? But as a key player in achieving those captivating red hues, for our journey doesn't end here. Join me as we delve deeper into this bug-crushing, plant-squeezing realm of natural colorings where every hue holds a tale waiting to be discovered. So buckle up and prepare for an adventure like no other as we navigate through the twists and turns of this technicolor maze of natural colorings. Hang on for part 8 of What's Up With My Blood Work with your host, Dr. Kathy Juhas. Stay tuned. Welcome back to What's Up With My Blood Work, the podcast where margarine isn't a food and aspirin is not a vitamin. I am your host, Dr. Kathy Juhas, chiropractor and providing comprehensive blood and hair analysis for over 20 years. And I'm thrilled to take you on this journey of decoding health and wellness. In each episode, we are here to strip away the guesswork, exploring how getting the correct testing can lead to informed decision-making regarding your health and wellness. You will discover the power of personalized blood and hair analysis and making informed decisions about your health. If you're ready to get started, stay tuned. Well, hello, 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 my savvy warrior label readers. How's everybody doing today? Are your label reading skills sharpening like a well-honed sword? Hasn't this series been the most eye-opening and entertaining journey ever? I've certainly had a blast bringing this to you in a hopefully informative and lighthearted manner, all so you can wield your knowledge like a pro when scrutinizing those labels. And guess what? Today, it's all about natural colorings. But hey, if you're just tuning in now, make sure you catch up on the episode dedicated solely to deciphering what quote-unquote natural really means. Yes, we're on part 8 of this epic series, so if you're just joining us, there are 7 episodes patiently waiting for you to catch up on. Trust me, each one is a gem and relevant to today's topic. So here's where it gets tricky. The term natural. The term natural isn't precisely regulated by the FDA, leaving plenty of room for interpretation. So while natural colorings are generally sourced from nature, the extent of processing and refinement they undergo can vary widely. This means that what one person considers natural might not align with someone else's definition. Isn't that wonderful? So in a nutshell, natural colorings are like a chameleon or an insect, as we found out. Yuck, ugh, yuck, yuck, and gross. They take on the appearance of nature, but their true colors might be a bit more complex than what meets the eye. So let's go on to definitions and the origins. Natural colorings refer to pigments derived from natural sources such as plants, fruits, vegetables, and minerals. Hey, are we avoiding the insect now? Common colors used in natural colorings include various shades of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. And these sources contain compounds such as carotenoids, anthocyanins, chlorophyll, and others that impart color. But let's delve deeper into some of the key compounds found in natural colorings and explore how they're sourced. Carotenoids, what are they? Well, they're a group of pigments responsible for the yellow, orange, and red colors found in various fruits, vegetables, and plants. And they are a type of fat-soluble pigment. Where are they sourced from? The carotenoids are abundantly found in carrots, sweet potatoes, pumpkins, tomatoes, peppers, and certain leafy greens like spinach and kale. They are also present in some fruits such as oranges, mangoes, and apricots. So far, I am getting hungry for a salad. Anthocyanins, what are they? Well, they are water-soluble pigments belonging to the flavonoid group. They are responsible for the red, purple, and blue colors seen in many fruits, vegetables, and flowers. And what are their sources? Well, the anthocyanins are commonly found in berries such as blueberries, strawberries, strawberries, raspberries, and blackberries. They are also present in red cabbage, purple grapes, cherries, and eggplants. Let's talk about chlorophyll. What is it? Well, it is a green pigment vital for photosynthesis in plants. It absorbs sunlight and converts it into chemical energy, giving plants their green color. Chlorophyll is abundant in green leafy vegetables such as spinach, kale, lettuce, and parsley, and is also found in green herbs like cilantro, mint, and basil. These compounds can be extracted from their natural sources using various methods such as solvent extraction, steam distillation, and mechanical pressing. Once extracted, they can be further processed or purified to obtain the desired colorants for use in food and beverages and supplements. Refer to last episode for details on those processes. But these natural colors are often sought after for their ability to provide vibrant hues while maintaining consumer preferences for a clean label ingredient. However, it's important to note that the specific shades and concentrations of natural colors used may vary depending on the product or the manufacturer. So what are these other colors that they talk about? Let's look at curcumin, which is a compound that is found in turmeric, and that imparts a bright yellow color. Betaine is a red pigment found in beets. Carmine, which is our mystery guest of the day. Yes, our special guest, Carmine the insect, is a red pigment derived from a cochineal insect, commonly used in food and cosmetics. Are we so excited about this? Oh, gross. It can be found in various foods and cosmetic products. It is commonly used to impart red color to items such as beverages, yogurt, ice cream, fruit fillings, candies, and cosmetics like lipsticks and blushes. Additionally, carmine may also be listed on labels as cochineal extract, cochineal, carmine lake, natural red 4, or the European label of E120. And that is spelled C-O-C-H-I-N-E-A-L. It is the cochineal insect. So here we go again with the insects in our food. But I affectionately call this insect carmine, but that name is actually the red pigment that comes from it. So let's look a little closer and probably a little grosser into this hidden ingredient, how it's made and how it was even discovered to be used in our food in the first place. Carmine is made from the dried bodies of female cochineal insects, specifically the Dactylopius coccus species. Okay, stop. Just stop. I am so totally grossed out right now already. Okay, well, I'm just going to keep trying to go on. These insects feed on certain types of cacti, primarily the prickly pear cactus. The red color is derived from the carminic acid, a pigment produced by the insects as a defense mechanism against predators. Ugh, my gag reflex right now is a defense mechanism to insects in my food supply right now. The process of making carmine involves harvesting the cochineal insects from the cactus pads, drying them, and then crushing them to extract carminic acid. And this acid is then further processed to produce the dye, which is used as a natural food and cosmetic coloring. Here's a PSA. Cochineal insects were harmed in the making of that lipstick. The discovery of the dye's properties dates back to ancient civilizations, particularly in Central and South America, where indigenous populations use cochineal insects for their vibrant red color. The Spanish conquistadors encountered cochineal during their explorations and brought it back to Europe. And this is where it became highly valued as a natural dye for textiles and later as a food in cosmetic colorings. The FDA considers carmine to be safe for use as a food and cosmetic coloring. However, they require that it be listed on product labels under its specific name, carmine or cochineal extract, to ensure transparency for consumers who may have allergies or dietary restrictions. How would you know you have a dietary restriction to an insect? Let's move on. While some individuals may choose to avoid products containing carmine due to personal preferences, you think? How about due to gag reflex or ethical reasons? The FDA has not imposed any restrictions on its use in food and cosmetics. Allergic reactions to carmine can vary in severity and may manifest as symptoms such as itching, hives, swelling, or difficulty breathing. If you suspect an allergy to carmine, it's essential to consult with a healthcare professional for proper diagnosis and guidance. They may recommend allergy testing or avoiding products containing carmine to prevent adverse reactions. If you have symptoms of vomiting, that may be more just the thought of eating a crushed insect, like most of us right now. Okay, let's look at regulations and FDA guidelines. The FDA regulates the use of color additives in food, drugs, cosmetics, and medical devices under the FD&C Act and related regulations. Natural colorings must be approved by the FDA as safe for use in food and supplements. The FDA provides a list of color additives approved for use in the United States, including those derived from natural sources. Again, listen to the episode on additives for further information on this. I went into great detail. And additionally, the FDA provides guidelines and labeling requirements for natural colorings, ensuring transparency and consumer awareness. Let's hope so. As for whether these colors are similar to those approved by the FDA's Color Additive Certification Program, formerly known as the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic FD&C Colors, there can be some overlap, especially especially with certain naturally derived colors that have been granted GRAS, generally recognized as safe, and they have that status by the FDA. However, natural colors may also include additional shades and variations that are not covered by the FDA synthetic color additives. It's essential for manufacturers to ensure compliance with FDA regulations and guidelines when using natural colorings in their products. Let's talk about the health effects. Natural colorings are generally considered safe for consumption when used within regulatory limits. Like, we don't really know what that is. But overall, the regulatory frameworks for natural and artificial colorings share many similarities in terms of safety evaluations, permitted levels, labeling requirements, and compliance obligations. Both types of colorings are subject to rigorous scrutiny to ensure consumer safety and product quality. However, individuals with sensitivities or allergies to specific natural sources may experience adverse reactions. Compared to synthetic colorings, natural colorings may offer potential health benefits due to the presence of those phytochemicals and antioxidants from the natural sources. Yay, that makes me feel so much better that a bug is coming from natural sources and I see absolutely no phytochemical antioxidant benefit in that whatsoever. So I think I'll stick with the fruits and vegetables. Thank you very much. Manufacturer tactics to hide. How about that? Let's just get into the nitty gritty, because this is what we really want to understand when we are reading labels, is what's the manufacturer actually putting on there? What's their tactics so that I can decode what's going on? So when some manufacturers may be using misleading label practices to obscure the presence of artificial colors or undesirable additives, tactics may include using generic terms like quote unquote natural flavors or color added without specifying the exact source or types of the colorings used, blending natural and synthetic colorings to achieve specific shades or hues while still claiming naturalness. That's why they'll say that it's still natural, is because the majority of it might be natural, but they've used synthetics to get the color that they want. And utilizing proprietary blends or formulations to prevent competitors and consumers from discerning the exact ingredients and their proportions. That's the biggie right there. They'll just claim that it's proprietary. Here's a somewhat exhaustive list of labeling tactics that consumers should look out for. As we were talking, misleading labeling practices, and some manufacturers may employ deceptive tactics to obscure the presence of artificial colorings or undesirable additives. This could include using ambiguous or misleading language on product labels. And here are some examples of ambiguous or misleading language that consumers may encounter on product labels. So as we talked about, the first two, natural flavors. Product label might state natural flavors without specifying the exact sources or types of flavorings used. This could include both natural and artificial flavorings, making it very unclear to the consumers what they're actually consuming. What does color added mean? Similarly, a label might indicate color added without specifying whether the colorings used are natural or artificial. And this lack of clarity can make it difficult for consumers to discern the origins of the colors in the product as well. And here's a good one, made with real fruit. A product may claim to be made with real fruit, but the actual amount of fruit content could be minimal. And this claim may create the impression of a healthier or more natural product than it actually is. How about no artificial ingredients? So yeah, that's very clear. I think no means no. I think maybe only in dog training. While a product may boast no artificial ingredients, it could still contain artificial colorings, flavorings, or preservatives. This claim may mislead consumers into believing the product is entirely natural when it may not be. What about terms like it's healthy or all natural? Terms like healthy or all natural may be used to imply that a product is wholesome or free from artificial additives. However, these terms are not always regulated and may not accurately reflect the nutritional value or ingredient composition of that product. And then here's other terms, fortified or enriched. Products that are labeled as fortified or enriched may contain added vitamins or minerals, but they could also be high in sugar, sodium, or other undesirable ingredients. And this labeling may mislead consumers into believing the product is healthier than it is. Fortifying and enriching is not the best way to get your vitamins, because those are probably synthetic. So these examples will illustrate how manufacturers may use language that is open to interpretation or misleading to consumers. So it's essential for consumers to read labels carefully and look beyond marketing claims to make informed decisions about the products they purchase. How about some generic terms? So manufacturers may also use generic terms such as natural flavors or color added without specifying the exact source or types of colorings. This lack of specificity can make it difficult for consumers to discern whether it's natural or artificial. And we talked about natural and color added. It's just so erroneous. How about these hidden names for artificial colorings? Artificial colorings may be listed under alternative names or numbers, making it challenging for consumers to identify them. For example, the FD&C yellow number 5 is also known as tartrazine. Go back to that episode on additives. How about masking with natural colorings? Some manufacturers may use small amounts of natural colorings to mask the presence of larger quantities of artificial colorings, thus creating the illusion of a natural product while still containing synthetic additives. And now we're going to talk about some buzzwords. So labels may feature buzzwords such as organic, healthy, or all natural to create a perception of a wholesome product. But these terms may not always accurately reflect the ingredient or nutritional value of the product. Oversized ingredient lists. Watch out for this. Products with lengthy ingredient lists may contain hidden additives, preservatives, or artificial colorings. And you should scrutinize ingredient lists and be wary of products with excessive additives. And sometimes it will get lengthy because they're breaking down each additive or product into its parts, like we did with the sugars. So it wouldn't be number one. They'd break it down, but it makes the list a lot longer. How about front of the package claims? How about these? We see this like on cereal boxes or whatever, but manufacturers may highlight certain claims on the front of the package, such as made with real fruit, to imply natural ingredients. However, these claims may not always reflect the overall composition of the product. They're just trying to get your attention. You go, oh, that one's made with real fruit. The advertisement got your attention. That's what they're looking for. But natural colorings are also commonly used in supplements to enhance their visual appeal and make them more attractive to consumers. Some common examples of natural colorings used in supplements would include spirulina extract. And spirulina is a type of blue-green algae that contains chlorophyll, giving it a vibrant green color. And spirulina extract is often used as a natural coloring agent in green-colored supplements. And turmeric is a spice derived from the curcuma longa plant, known for its bright yellow color due to its presence of curcumin. And turmeric extract is frequently used to add a yellow hue to supplements. Then we have beetroot powder. Beetroot is a root vegetable with a deep red color due to the presence of betanine, a natural pigment. Beetroot powder is commonly used as a natural coloring agent in a red or pink colored supplement. And natto extract, A-N-N-A-T-T-O, derived from seeds of the achiote tree. It contains bixin and norbixin, which imparts a yellow to orange color. A natto extract is used as a natural coloring agent in supplements. Saffron extract is a spice derived from the Crocus sativus flower, known for its distinct yellow color. Saffron extract may be used as natural coloring agents in supplements. Well, let's just move on to spirulina powder. In addition to its use as an extract, spirulina is also available in powdered form, and the spirulina powder may be used as a natural coloring agent in supplements, especially those needing green or blue hues. So when you're seeking supplements without fillers, binders, or artificial colorings, it's essential to look for products that prioritize purity and simplicity. And so here are some options for supplements that may align with these criteria. Number one would be whole food supplements. Whole food supplements are made from real whole foods rather than isolated vitamins or minerals. These supplements aim to provide nutrients in their natural form, often without the need for fillers or binders. So look for supplements made from organic fruits, vegetables, herbs that are minimally processed and contain no added fillers or artificial additives. But here's the problem. You got to know the company, because if they say that there are no added fillers or no artificial additives, we don't know if we can trust that, right? You need to know your companies that you work with. And we work with really great whole food companies. Plant-based capsules. Capsules made from plant-based materials such as cellulose or HPMC. Again, go back to the previous episodes to understand what those are often used as alternatives to gelatin capsules. Plant-based capsules may be free from fillers, binders, and artificial colorings, providing a natural and clean option for encapsulated supplements. And then we have powdered supplements. Powdered supplements such as protein powders, green powders, herbal powders can be mixed into beverages or foods for easy consumption. And that's a great no-brainer. You don't need a filler or binder. So look for powdered supplements made from whole food ingredients with no added fillers, binders, or artificial colorings. Liquid supplements, such as liquid vitamins or herbal extracts, may offer a natural alternative to capsules or tablets, and you can look for liquid supplements made from pure natural ingredients without those added fillers or artificial additives. Then you have your single ingredient supplements, and single ingredient supplements can be something like vitamin C, vitamin D, or omega-3 fatty acids, because they typically have fewer additional ingredients and are more likely to be free from fillers, binders, and artificial colors. And then organic or non-GMO supplements, and there'll be another podcast on this one, but choosing supplements labeled as organic or non-GMO can help ensure that they are made from high-quality ingredients without unnecessary additives. Look for certifications such as USDA Organic or Non-GMO Project Verified to verify the product's purity and integrity. It's important to read supplement labels carefully and do thorough research on the brand and the product before purchasing to ensure it meets your criteria for purity and naturalness. And additionally, consulting with a healthcare professional like me that will not guess about your health, but test and test properly with our comprehensive blood and hair analysis and urine toxic challenge, we can help you make informed decisions about which supplements are best suited to your individual. individual needs and preferences. So unless you love starting your day with a handful of mystery tablets and that is your idea of a good time, maybe you love not questioning why you're swallowing so many pills each morning. Then just go on with your bad self. But if that is not you, then that's where we come in. Ready to save the day with our comprehensive blood and hair analysis, because why guess about your health when you can just test? And then we retest, because we don't want to guess about your health, and neither should you. So who among you would rather have a balanced breakfast than just a buffet of supplements instead? On the other hand, we wouldn't mind the handful of supplements if we actually knew why and what we needed, right? Well, let's not forget about those natural colorings, shall we? Because nothing says healthy like a supplement that's been jazzed up with a splash of Mother Nature's finest hues. But hey, don't get too comfortable, because make sure to read those labels with a magnifying glass to uncover any sneaky additives lurking beneath those earthy tones. After all, nothing ruins a good supplement binge like deceptive label practices. So in conclusion, in today's podcast, we delve deep into the color world of natural colorings, where reality is a spectrum of hues and labels are like a game of hide and seek. We learned that while these vibrant pigments are sourced from nature's pantry, think fruits, veggies, and minerals, the journey from farm to tablet isn't always a straight shot. We also learned that natural colorings are like the chameleons of the supplement world, blending in with their surroundings, but packing a punch of complexity behind those earthy tones. Carotenoids, anthocyanins, chlorophyll, these compounds aren't just names on a label. They're the artists behind the scenes painting our supplements with nature's palette. But let's not forget the humble cochineal insect and its role in adding a splash of color to our foods and cosmetics. Who would have thought that such tiny creatures could leave such a colorful legacy behind? Who thought that they could just leave their behind? Because apparently that's what they're crushing up and putting in our food and in our cosmetics. Yeah. But here's where it always gets tricky. While the FDA gives the nod to these natural colorings, there's plenty of wiggle room in the regulations. It's like a game of dietary roulette. What's quote-unquote natural to one person might be more processed than a fast food drive-through to another. And oh, let's not forget those sneaky manufacturer tactics. From hiding behind vague terms like natural colors and flavors to playing mix and match with synthetic additives. It's like trying to decode a secret message written in invisible ink. But this does not bring fear to my label reading warriors. Oh no, because you are armed with knowledge and a healthy dose of skepticism. You can navigate this technicolor maze with finesse. So next time you're faced with a sea of supplements, remember to read those labels like a detective on a mission, and don't be afraid to question what's hiding behind those rainbow hues. After all, when it comes to your health, ignorance is not bliss. It's just another color in the spectrum of misinformation. Thank you so much for joining me today on part 8 of Tricky Labeling and Toxic Ingredients. Be sure to review, answer the polls. They're only available for 7 days when the podcast airs initially. Share and subscribe so you don't miss another episode. I'm your host, Dr. Kathy Juhas. Be well, be healthy, stay skeptical, and stay ever savvy. See you next time. Blessings. If you are still having health challenges, even when your substandard blood work says you are normal or you are not hitting those specific health goals, remember to test, not guess. The proper comprehensive blood and hair analysis is designed to leave no rock unturned in regards to your health. I'm your host, Dr. Kathy Juhas. This is What's Up With My Blood Work. Be well, be healthy, and stay informed. Until next time, when we continue our sequel of Tricky Labeling and Toxic Ingredients. Blessings. But before you go, be a superhero and drop a review. Share this podcast, vote in our polls, subscribe, download, beam yourself in, Scotty, for a front row seat for the next episode of What's Up With My Blood Work. I'm sending you blessings of life, health, and wellness. Until next time, this is Dr. Kathy Juhas. Shalom. Please note that the information provided in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. No doctor-patient relationship is established by listening to this podcast. And while I might have my degree hanging on my wall, this podcast isn't a substitute for a consultation in my office. So if you start self-diagnosing based on our banter, you might end up with a case of hypochondria. Remember, I'm just a voice in your earbuds, not your personal physician. If you need real health advice, go see a real doctor like me, but in person. Stay healthy, stay skeptical, and for the love of all that's healthy, don't guess, test. I am your host, Dr. Kathy Juhas, and I will see you next time on What's Up With My Blood Work.